The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, this land is your land. This land is my land. Wrong. I know that the American dream is to own a house, and that is true in the temporal sense, but it is observationally false in the long run. Nobody owns, everybody rents. Next, Jesus taught us to watch and pray. There are times in life when we need to do a little bit more watching. Observations are important, especially when it comes to false truths that the world spits out. And finally, no decent Bible teacher could ever say that the Old Testament is void of value. That would just prove that they're clueless, as the Old Testament, according to Romans, was written for our benefit. But we need to see it through the lens of the New Testament.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. That's what kind of is going through in my cold process. So surviving would have been Friday night, Saturday. Sunday and Monday were living. Tuesday and Wednesday prevailing. Just like that. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, and I want to encourage you to do that if you're more comfortable doing that. Email us, david@hemustincrease.org. So you just write David, and then a little at sign, whatever they call that thing, the at sign, and then hemustincrease.org. I know it has a name. I don't really care. Text. You can text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Sure missed getting texts and listening and talking to people over the last couple of days, but glad to be back. And then you can also call us, as you know, 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. And that's when Terrific T answers the phone. And when she answers the phone, it's just like you have a warm blankie. And you just put that warm blankie on when it's cold, and it just feels good. And then she turns you over to me, and then it's like the warm blankie got unplugged. Ay, 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 ay. Here's the bottom line. It can be, you can contact us for prayer requests, for praise reports, for questions. We try to answer whatever questions we can. If it's theological and too deep in nature, we'll do a review on it and get back to you on it. We want that opportunity, though, to pray with you. Want that opportunity to hear that the Lord's doing things in your life, because that's a blessing for other people to hear. When you share a testimony, by the way, about something that the Lord is doing in your life or has done in your life, did you know that other people who are listening to it, people that don't even know you, don't even know who you are, that they get blessed because they hear about, get this, the activity of God in believers' lives. And that blesses them. That encourages them. That strengthens them. And that's one of the reasons why we want people to be able to do this, to share with one another. Answered prayer is one of the highest forms of giving glory and honor to God. It's fantastic. So if you've got something you want to share along those lines, if you've got a trivia question you want to answer, if you've got some general comments or stuff, as long as you keep it cool. Now, I don't want to get into the picking and the I wouldn't say picking and grinning, but I would say the nitpicking right now on people having difference of opinions on certain elements. Look, whatever you do politically, as long as you are a Bible-believing, born-again Christian who uses the Word of God as your guide, then I'm with it. Okay? Instead of using, oh, I had tacos last night, so I have gas, therefore I'll make this decision. Don't do that. Okay? That's just dumb. Okay, there's dumb and then there's like normal. All right, so let me give the first trivia question, okay, for you guys to respond to. Should be an easy one for many of you. We have many Bible scholars out there, I think. What preacher, and yes, you've heard it before, but just asking differently, what preacher was mad because his preaching caused the whole city to repent? The preacher was mad because it worked. Which preacher was that? If you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why is that? Because it's not professional radio. I'm pretty sure you can hear that in my voice. That's not professional radio. That's really unprofessional radio. It's the most unprofessional radio there is when you do that. Hey, I'm not gargling. That's good, right? I could do that. Because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. It's the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Okay, somebody's calling in already. Hanging in there, hanging in there. So we got somebody calling. You ready to answer the question? Okay, here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. How are you? How are you feeling today?
Well, I have felt better.
Okay. Brother, I am there with you. Not to that level, but I'm there with you. I have felt better. All right, my good brother. Here we go. This is important because sometimes people want to be the bearer of judgment, which is really kind of bizarre. What preacher was mad because his preaching caused the whole city to repent?
Was it Jonah?
That is correct, sir. Just think about that. God gives you a mission. I want you to preach to these people, and then they're all going to they're going to repent, and you're like, oh, boo, I finished. It's like, I got it done. It's like, that was the wrong attitude for that guy, don't you think?
he went to Nineveh.
Correct.
And I think Nineveh was the capital of Assyria.
Man, you are a target.
And the Assyrians didn't have a very good reputation. They were kind of a bad bunch. So.
They had low moral standings.
Yeah.
That would be the way they would say it. And even to the point where God said some of them can't figure out the left arm from the right, which is like another insult against the whole people. Man, you're on target with that. I love in that story on Jonah how he was looking. The Lord said, go to this place, and then he tried to find a boat going in the wrong direction. And he probably was thinking, all right, I'm getting away with this. I'm getting away with this.
It's like, if the Lord wants you to do something, you better go ahead.
Yeah, you better do it, because otherwise he's just going to toss you out in the water.
Yeah.
Excellent job, Gary. Great to have you call in. Great to hear your voice.
Okay, thank you, and I hope you get to feeling better.
All right, thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. Bye-bye. All right. Great job. Excellent job there. All right. What do we got? I got a short amount of time. Is there anything we got to cover? No? Wait on the website? What's that? No, you can do the website. Go ahead and do the website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so that gives you an opportunity of a place to give. You do not have to give, and don't feel any weird obligation. You know, I get really upset about the manipulation that's going on. Even now in the church, there's this manipulation. You didn't deserve the money. Da, da, da. It's like, dude, never listen to that. Whatever God puts in your path, you're the steward of. Do it the best you can. Got it? Okay. Never forget that. Okay? No matter what they do.
I'll give you an anointed pebble. It came out of my bathtub or something. It's like, come on. Give me a break.
All right. Here's something you're going to like Well, it'll probably be better than last segment because that was about the love of God being for everybody and then somehow not being for everybody. Anyway, kingdoms, countries, powers, and people. Guess what? Do you have a house? Do you have a nice house? Do you have a nice apartment? Do you have a nice place? Guess what? Everybody rents. Did you know that? Nobody owns. Do you know that title that you have, that deed of trust that you have for that parcel of land that you have? When Jesus comes back, you no longer own it. Leviticus 25:23, the land is not to be permanently sold because it is mine, and you are only foreigners and temporary residents on my land. Nobody owns. Everybody talks about this. I have this. I own this. No, you don't. I have this. No, you don't. You might have a nice lease. It might be a family lease. It might last a really long time. When you hear, you no longer own that lease. You no longer have that property. When the Lord says the time has come, the kingdom will not be established. Be it a literal millennium reign or a different form, wouldn't even matter. Is it relevant? Okay, let me just make it super clear. You and I, in every possible capacity, every possible element on this earth, have no permanence. Watch this. This will really make some people mad. There is no carbon footprint for when Jesus comes back. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. That ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter what anybody comes up with, anybody says. The Lord is the permanence. The Lord is the foundation. The Lord is the steadfast. The land is not to be permanently sold because it is mine, and you are only foreigners and temporary residents on my land. Sounds a lot like 1 Peter and sounds a lot like Hebrews, doesn't it?
It sure does.
The Lord, he owns it all. We're just borrowing. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here I go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
Is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
ladies
right.
And gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has three stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay. He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Are you going to rename the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. You might hear a little tinge in my voice. You have to put up with it. Remember when Paul said you got to put up with my infirmity? You got to put up with it today. I'll have that for a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow. By Friday, it should be gone. Here is the trivia question. Who were the disciples who argued, the two of them, about sitting on the right and the left-hand side of Jesus? Maybe better said, who were the two disciples that were arguing in order to be able to sit on the right and the left-hand side of Jesus? What were the two disciples' names? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. That's where Terrific T will answer the phone. Or you can text 214-210-8483. So I was going to do this one teaching, but I've decided to share something completely different. Why? I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe it will help all of us understand that walking this Christian journey, we don't always say everything perfect, do everything perfect, think everything perfect, and respond everything perfect to everything perfectly, that there is within our system quite a bit of flaw. And that's the story I'm about to tell you about myself. Again, I'll give you the trivia question, give you a chance to answer it. Which were the two, or who were the two disciples who were seeking to sit on the right and left hand of Jesus? There were two of the disciples that were trying to get in there. Who were they? And if you know, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Two of them trying to get there. I want to sit on your right hand and your left hand. And you got to figure out who that is. Okay. So let me go back to this story that I want to tell you a little bit about. It's a kind of an interesting story, and you got to follow me and understand. And I've mentioned it before, but I did it quickly in passing, but I want to go into the depth of it. So for a short time, I was doing ministry in Prescott, Arizona. For those that are familiar with Arizona, Prescott's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty, you know, they had a great pie place there. It's one of the best, you know, best pie places around. And for a little while, I was trying to help people out and do things. And I went from Prescott to Flagstaff, right? So Flagstaff, Arizona, that's had the planted the church there and had quite a bit of fun over there. And what they did was they asked me to fill in at a school. Right? Isn't that nice? This is before I got all my advanced degrees. Can you fill in and teach a social studies class? Now, I don't have a degree in social studies. So let me say something real quick. I was helping out a private Christian school, but I was a pastor and I was known in the community. And in that process, you know, I had kind of up with the teaching about, you know, running out of money and, you know, what do you do when you run out of money at the end of the month? A practical teaching, because a lot of us, you know, you can sit there and put the bills down and say your bills are $1,800, $1,900 and you're paycheck is $2,200, $2,300 by the time you're done, whatever the case may be. It's like, how do you live off of that little bit amount of money? And so that was, you know, going to be the lesson, so on and so forth. But, you know, every time, and if you remember, I mentioned this before, every time we would gather in the beginning of the day and they would open it, it's a private Christian school. They'd open up around the flagpole. They'd open up with prayer. They do the Pledge of Allegiance. They open up with prayer. And that was how they would do it. And I think that my kids went to private Christian school for a little while. That stuff's fine. Everything's great. So while I was there, they asked me if I had anything to say, and I said no. And I think I mentioned this to you before, and they all looked at me. Now, look, I'm a pastor. People know who I am in the community. The community had 40,000 people. It's not like it was enormous. And then the next closest thing was Williams, Arizona. And that's like farther away. And so, 40 miles away. So I'm trying to give you an idea. Everybody kind of knew each other. And when they all looked at me like I'd done something wrong, I said, well, what would I do? And then she said, well, no, we didn't say, we asked you if you would pray. And you see, I thought they said, do you have anything to say? And so how I responded was, what? I said, no, I don't got nothing to say. But what they heard was, Pastor Dave, will you pray? No. That's what they heard. I heard, do you have anything to say? And so I said, no. Right? But what they heard. Now, why I bring that story up, and yes, it is rather humorous. But what's important about there is us listening to one another. And I want to make a distinction here for you, because when you hear something in your ear, you are, and I always get these two confused, so please forgive me, but there's sound decimals that come into your ears, and then you make sense of it and rearrange it in your brain. That usually has the process of hearing. But listening means that what's being said is being understood. And so the question is, do you listen to one another? So at that moment, I wasn't listening. And there are moments where we do things where we're not listening to one another. We're hearing it. We're just not listening. We're not processing. We're not taking it in. And the reason I bring this up is because I think that many Christians are not listening to what's going on in society. Okay? Let me help you. I'm gonna say something. You're going to hate me for it, or you'll love me for it. They're trying to outlaw Dr. Seuss, right? I mean, not outlaw, but just ban Dr. Seuss. And you think, that is so ridiculous because of this and because of political correctness. And they're not trying to outlaw or ban Dr. Seuss. They're just taking the next step to ban the Word of God. And if you don't see that, if you don't hear what's going on, if you're not aware of what's taking place, if you're not in touch or in tune with this, people are trying through demonic influence to shut down the Bible's availability and proclamation in public. They will not ultimately succeed, but they will have victories. In England, for those that are familiar with England, of which my mother-in-law is from England, if you are familiar with the public speech square, you are no longer allowed to speak against homosexuality in the free speech park. So that should tell you that the free speech part is being changed. No longer is it about free speech. Now it's about speech that has to fall between certain parameters because it's deemed hate speech, and hate speech is no longer acceptable as free speech. And if you just walk all this stuff back, all of it comes from a misapplication. And the reason that I'm bringing it up, the reason I brought the story about me, praying and hearing the one thing, is because I think Christians are hearing one thing, but they're not listening to what's going on. Satan is trying to forge a culture that will quench the Word of God. I know we think he cares about individual ministries. He's trying to stop the Bible from being proclaimed. He's not going to succeed, because Scripture tells us that the rock that built that kingdom is never going to go away. It's never going to disappear. It's going to grow into a massive kingdom, and it's going to eventually overwhelm. But that doesn't mean that Satan's not going to try. And what you're going to see is people like Don Lemon, who I mentioned before, and other people trying to tell you what the Bible says, what God is like, without using the Bible. Then they're going to start defining God based on the image of man and not on God. And then they're going to persecute and prosecute those who don't abide by it. If you don't see and hear that, you're going to do what I did and make the mistake and go, what? No, not even know what you're talking about. And they're doing it right in front of us. And I'm not doing this to scare you. I'm doing this to prepare you. You and I should know the word so good that even if they take the print, you have the word inside of you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You might need that more than you think, because they might not give you access the way that you have access now. You think, oh, that's fear-mongering. What do I gain by saying that? I'm not going to gain a single person to say that. In fact, I'm going to lose people by saying this, but I'm telling you, as absolute sure as I am sitting here right now, they are going to try to outlaw the Word of God. They're going to try and get the Bible banned. They're going to try and stop all access. They've already done pretty much that in the public educational square, and they're going to try and do it even more so. And you and I have to be ready to stand firm in our faith. I think it's fantastic that the church has made some of the inroads, and I just absolutely am ecstatic about the great things that we've done. But I think if the church doesn't listen to the circumstances of the day, they're going to miss this. And it'll go right by. And then when it happens, you'll be like, what? What happened? What'd I do? I'm telling you, know the word and let it dwell in you richly so that they cannot take the truth away from you. Right? Okay. Okay, which disciples argued about sitting? That was pretty tough stuff right there, right? You do what the Lord does, leads you to best you can. But the disciples were arguing about sitting at the right and the left-hand side of Jesus. Who was that? It was James and John. Matthew 10:2 and 20:20-24, James and John. Can we sit on your right hand and on your left? Jesus said, it's not for me to give. Ooh, okay. I'm going to take a break, come back. Hopefully the next segment will be lighter. Who knows? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
On Christ the Solid Rock, I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Probably some of you are saying, man, he must be sick. He's on a roll, and it's not toasted. No, it's on fire. That's what it is. Ooh, on fire. All right, let me give you the next trivia question, and then I do have a joke. It's a short one, but it's cute. Okay, she'll let me know if it's any good. But first, the trivia question. Here you go. Jesus said the following. You got to fill in the blanks. It's easier for a blank to go through the eye of a needle than for a blank to enter the kingdom of God. Aha! It's easier for a blank to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a blank to enter the kingdom of God. If you think you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483. You can also call in 972-445-0770. Plus, you can also send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? Okay. It's easier for a blank to go through the eye of a needle than for a blank to enter the kingdom of God. There we go. Okay? All right. Ready for a joke? Got the buzzer? Okay. I didn't say it was going to be a good joke. I just said it's a short joke. Okay. That wasn't the joke. Hold on. Okay. A Sunday school teacher was telling her class about the Bible. She told them about the kings of the Old Testament. And she told them about the queens who vied for their attention. Then she told them there was a higher power and asked them if anyone could tell them who it was. And one student raised his hand and said, yes, aces. See, kings. Queens. Come on. Higher power. Aces. Aces. Hey, it's free on AM radio. What do you want? That's the only thing I can say. It's free on AM radio. You're lucky there's a joke. Somebody ready to answer that question? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, kind David, this is Joy.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
I'm very blessed, especially because I'm talking to you.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. So nice of you to say. I'll send you the $20. I'll send you the $20 later.
Okay. We missed you. We're so glad you're back. Prayed for you.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate that. And we're both doing better, but Noelle's doing great, and mine's just throaty, but I feel great, so no problem.
Oh, praise God. We will keep praying, because we know, you know, you're very brave. You're here working when you could be, you know, taking a nice hot Epsom salt bath.
Yeah.
So thank you.
More than welcome. All right. We're going to hit the trivia question. And, you know, it was really a three-parter, but I kind of broke it down a little easier. And I know you know this. I'm just feeling very confident for you. It's easier for a blank to go through the eye of a needle than for a blank to enter the kingdom of God.
A camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
That is correct.
In my devotion.
Oh, that's so perfect.
Yes.
That's a perfect connection.
And one thing that occurred to me, maybe you can help me on this. I heard that the eye of a needle was like a a little archway that camels would duck under to pass through.
Right. And let me give a response to that, just so that you can know. That is totally false.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It is. Now, here's the thing. So, and let me tell you why. People always say, "Oh, no, it was a really difficult way, and the camel, they'd have to get off the camel, and the camel would have to squeeze through the hole." That came around the 10th century. That's where that comes from.
Oh,
there was never
okay.
a gate named that way. And in context, Jesus said it was impossible without God. And so it wasn't like every time somebody went through the gate, it was God letting them go through the gate. So the whole thing is just like, no, it just sounds good. And that's
okay.
where you get those things and you go, oh, no, but that just makes – and it does make perfect sense. It does sound plausible, but it's just not what was said. It's just like,
got it.
It's so classic because literally you can't get a camel through the eye of a needle. That ridiculous observation, even though the Jewish word could be used for rope or like a noose or something, the real ridiculousness is you can't get saved apart from the power of God. It's impossible. And that's
Amen.
What that's what the whole key is. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. Well, thanks for clarifying that. And we bless you and love you and have a wonderful evening. Get some rest after work.
I will. Thank you both so much.
Bye.
You guys are a delight.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. All yes, right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Good job. Excellent job. What are we going to do? We're going to do history? We're going to do a little history. Excellent job by Joanne and Cordelia. All right, for those that do not know, today is Submarine Day, okay? And there was a guy that my brother knew, and I'm not kidding, that wrote a song called The Hero Isn't Nothing But a Sandwich Anymore. That's what the title of the song was. The Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich Anymore. Anyway, it's a long story. I'll tell you about it some other time. But anyway, it's Submarine Day. Some people are like, is that the boat or is that the sandwich? Does it matter? Is it really that important? Just pick one. St. Patrick's Day, technically celebrating the life of St. Patrick, who died on, I think, in like 12 different dates. Most well known for trying to explain the Trinity to pagans using the shamrock. Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to move on. 1845, on this day, the rubber band was invented. And I see, now that, I can use that. And then in 1969, on this day, Golda Meir became the Prime Minister of Israel. She is one of my political heroes. She's one of the few people that are like, you killed our people, huh? Okay. And then they spent the next 5 years in regards to the Munich thing taking care of business. I know I shouldn't support it, but I'm Jewish. I can't do much about that. Let's see. Let me get into the next teaching. Is there anything else we need to cover? I think we've covered everything. Great call by Joy, though. Great call. I'm so glad she called and even said that, because some people are like, I remember telling this girl, it's like, no, it's impossible. It can't happen. She's like, no, it should be a gate. It's like, it's not. Don't get mad at me. All right. Luke 2:26. Still representing the 777. Luke 2:26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I want to say something about this. This is New Testament, New Covenant. People say, well, the New Covenant didn't really establish until, you know, Jesus died and then rose again, or until the veil was torn in half. And it's like, yes, but when it's included in the New Covenant, it's included for a reason, right? And the new and the old, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment. And so here, the individual is being talked about, has the Holy Spirit speak and say, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit revealed that. I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit reveals stuff to you and I. Never saying anything contrary to the Word, because the Word's inspired by the Holy Spirit, so it doesn't contradict himself. Never saying anything that's extra biblical in the context of the having the same authority as Scripture. Nobody ever said that. But the Holy Spirit might lead you or guide you to a place to live, to a place to work, to a person to be with. That all that is active. There's no reason to assume the Holy Spirit checked out. And in fact, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:4 tells you the exact opposite. Most of the people are trying to figure out, well, I want to, you know, get direction in life, and then they open up the Bible and they think the Bible's going to actually speak to them about their personal direction in life. It's like the Holy Spirit is the guidance counselor What's the problem? If we would stop treating the Holy Spirit like an it, it would just be better, because he still teaches us things and opens things up for us. It is a him, not an it. John 14, 16, and 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Get it? It's a him. John 16, 12 through 13, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And the reason that I bring that up from time to time, you know I do it, is because, look, I think people in Christian faith understand there's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and can understand the Father and usually attach their Father to some capacity of the Father, which is a mistake, because the Heavenly Father is a perfect dad, not a flawed father. The Lord Jesus Christ, we get to read about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You get to get a real good sense of how he engages and how he interacts with people. And then you see the Holy Spirit spoken about throughout the Scripture, and people are like, but I don't quite get it. And it's like, that's the part where you're required to have a sensitivity to the Lord, because the Holy Spirit represents Jesus, who glorifies the Father in your life. Isn't it the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you? Jesus lives in you by faith. The Holy Spirit is in you, period. Which is why your body is the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. And so you hear me say this a lot, because this is the challenge for a lot of people. They're like, I'm just not finding the empowerment of the Lord. Well, stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop quenching the Holy Spirit. There's more than enough in the Spirit of the living God, who came to you through Jesus Christ, given by God the Father. There's more than enough adequacy in the Spirit of God to lead and guide your steps. But you and I gotta do the same kind of thing. Stop religionizing it. I don't want you to be mystical, but I don't want you to be so Pharisaical that your church couldn't let the Holy Spirit in the door. That's not good either, right? It's not good to be extremist to the left or the right, but to walk down the middle. That means a little bit of it and a little bit not of it, right? All right. I'm just encouraging you. Just be more sensitive, okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me. But it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like Halo? Come on. You don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located? Do you know that one? On the side of his head. What? That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus' time? Do you know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple, because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. Okay. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings, and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay.
Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you going to tell me life's so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right, here, we'll get to the best ones, and then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right, that's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
The cheetah. The cheetah. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Good to be back. I will remind everybody, tomorrow is our two-year anniversary, and true to form, we are going to be doing Read and Ramble in Colossians. I have this really, really cool portion. Plus, tomorrow is the final teaching on Philippians. So it's still Expository Thursday, even though it's the two-year anniversary, but it will be the two-year anniversary. So, I mean, that's good. We've been there for 2 years. Wow, it's just so weird. It's just weird to think about it. Like, really? But it's been so much fun. You guys are so cool. I mean, you guys have been just totally awesome. And that makes it a lot easier and a lot better. And I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, you don't have to agree with everything I say, but, you know, you're listening to me. There's a reason that the Lord has you listening. You can put it in the filter and figure out where it comes. But as long as everything, by the time we're said and done, you are one step closer to the Lord, I would say my mission has been accomplished. That is my mission. Okay? All right. So it doesn't have to be brilliant. And I'm starting my next class. That already opened up. It looks pretty good. I'm going to say that right now. Looks like a good class. So I'm excited, tentative, year and a half until I'm finished with everything. And then they call me doctor. And then I will probably take on the name Doolittle because I don't do very much. Okay? All right. What day of creation were the sea creatures and the fowl created? What day of creation were the sea creatures? Now, this is going to be in Genesis 1. So if you're not sure, look it up, okay? Because you know it's not day 1, and you know it's not day 7. You probably know it's not day 2, okay? So you got like a 1 in 4 chance. What day were the sea creatures and the fowl created? If you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. There are some people that think there's a big significance in knowing all these things. I'm not so sure. That's why it's called the trivia question. But if you think you know, let us know. What day were the fowl and the sea creatures? I've gotten 3 different answers already on the text. Somebody's wrong. That's all I'm going to say. What day? I'll say it again. Remember, it's Genesis 1. Hope you're doing better than just guessing. Genesis 1. On what day of creation were the sea creatures and the fowl created? Okay, let's do a real quick on the website. Let's do that real fast. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, there you go. All right, here we go. Here's something that I really want you to hear. I don't care if I said everything wrong up to this point. This thing I'm about to tell you is not wrong, okay? I don't care if everything you thought, I don't know if I agree with that. Okay, fine. That's fine. This is very important. This one I'm going to share. Very, very, very important for spiritual growth, for understanding, for comprehension, from drawing in and getting it. And I want you to hear me, okay? There's a couple of Bible
people out there that get really upset, and they can all get upset. Everybody can get upset as they want, okay? You got a very popular church character. I'll use that word specifically for that. A very hugely popular church character who has minimized the Old Testament as not being important. That, of course, is ridiculous because Romans 15 makes it absolutely clear that it is for our benefit that we have the Old Testament, even in the New Testament times. But it's very also important, which is terrible English, to let you know that you need to use the New Testament to understand the fullness of the Old Testament. Before you start freaking out, because I know a couple people are going to start texting me right away, listen to this and you will understand. Luke 1:17, it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous and so make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This person is supposed to come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Matthew chapter 11, verses 13 through 14. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Now, you can spin this a ton of ways, but here's what it says. Luke talks about the prophecy from Malachi about the prophet who's coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. In Matthew 11, Jesus identifies that person as John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the fulfillment of the prophecy in the Old Testament. The New Testament gives us the clarification of what the Old Testament was talking about. To say otherwise is, just take a long walk off a short pier. It's ridiculous. It's the ministry of John the Baptist fulfilled the prophecy of Malachi and Luke. No question about it. The New Testament is there to help us understand and resonate and gain understanding and perseverance and wisdom and insights from the old. You do not use the old to interpret the new. You use the new to interpret the old. Otherwise, Emmanuel never works. Did you hear what I said? Otherwise, Emmanuel never works. The New Testament interprets the old, or you wouldn't understand Matthew 1:22-23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin shall be with child, and she'll give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And if you don't understand that it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ, you're still looking. But in Jesus Christ, the answer is given and granted. And you understand the prophecy from Isaiah 7:14 is connected to its fulfillment in Matthew 1:22-23. And we understand that Emmanuel means God is with us, God with us, and it is demonstrated in the life of Jesus Christ. We get what we weren't getting, the clearness of the picture. Now, when the Old Testament prophets prophesied, when they spoke, there's many, many principles, law of double fulfillment, so on and so forth. They didn't always see it as clearly as we get to see it now, much like in all of society. When you look forward to something, you have one perspective. When you look back on that same thing, you have a completely different perspective. The Old Testament was looking forward to Christ. The New Testament looks back to the life of Christ, and that perspective is a little deeper, a little more in detail, because when you look back on something, you went through it and you see it, and then you go, now having gone through it, here's my take. But when you're looking forward to it, you don't know what it's going to be yet. That's not even really weird stuff. It's kind of like this. I'm looking forward to going to, people like Dallas Cowboys, right? I'm looking forward to going to a Dallas Cowboys game. I hope they go, when Green Bay comes, I hope they beat them back to Wisconsin. Okay. That's looking forward. Now, after the game is over, I look back and say, look at how Dallas beat Green Bay 24-21 in a threat. Now, it's a completely different perspective. Looking forward to that event, looking backwards on that same event. Look how the perspective is different. Isn't it much more defined looking backwards on it? Of course it is. That's not even rocket science. That's just the reality check of life. And Elijah prophesied for the future was fulfilled in John the Baptist. It's like, stop making a big deal about that. Got it, right? Jesus is the fulfillment of Emmanuel. Got it. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You understand when God made that promise to Abraham about righteousness coming by faith, you get a much clearer picture as you go through Galatians and Ephesians and how Jesus died for us. Doesn't mean you don't understand the Old Testament. It's just that the picture becomes that much more clear. Maybe a nice way to say it is, before you were looking at it with a telescope, now you're looking at it with a microscope. That's a good way to say it, okay? All right, so I got to answer the trivia question. Wait, let me hit the mic again so I can have a lot of noise coming that is not necessary. All right, the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing, according to the water teams, and that was, and there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Da, 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 da. So the answer is day number 5. That was Genesis 1, 20 through 23, day number 5. That's the answer. On what day the creation of the sea creatures and the fowl were created? Matthew 1, 20 through 23, day number 5. Is that exceedingly important to know? No. This is good to know. Good to know is important. I mean, if you're into Genesis, it's good to know. All right, here's the bottom line. Tomorrow, never forget what I just said about that. You use the new to understand the old. Don't do it the other way around. Doesn't matter what anybody says. They're wrong, 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 wrong. Because in Jesus is the fulfillment of what God is trying to communicate to all of us. He is, in fact, the answer and the word that God has for us. All right, tomorrow, we got the happy anniversary. We got expository. We got a really good read and ramble, which I think we'll like. Plus, we'll have more trivia. Plus, I have another announcement or two. Things are going great. Let's keep moving forward. And here's the big thing for you and for me. I'll be praying for you. You pray for me that people are strengthened like Gary. We need him strengthened in the Lord. Want to bless him. And everybody that's a part of us, all the things that they're going through, you want to be mindful of them and not just mindful of yourself. And you want to reflect Jesus in everything you think, say, and do. The biggest thing out of all of this is to spend time with the Lord. Okay? It's not those that know about the Lord, but those that know the Lord. They're the ones that get it. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be
false, but it feels the same. So views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.